A stagnant Christian is a contradiction in terms.
Welcome to Er Jaron. This broadcast is produced by Global Radio Ministries and Jaron Ministries International. The teaching series we are in is the New Testament book of Colossians.
Last week, Pastor Jim shared two more distinguishing marks of a mature Christian from Paul's power prayer in Colossians 1 verses 9 to 14. The third mark is a pleasing life, one that delights God by doing anything he calls us to do when he calls us to do it. Mark number 4 is a fruitful life that never stops working and serving the King of Kings. We pray that we will be filled with the knowledge of his will, so we will walk in a manner worthy of the Lord. As we walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, we will please him in all respects. As we please him in all respects, we will bear fruit in every good work.
Today we will move on to distinguishing mark number 5. A growing life. One that increases daily in the knowledge of God. Are you really growing in your walk with God today? Are you really being stretched in your faith today? Is your spiritual influence really spreading beyond your expectation? From this examination of Paul's pastoral prayer, Dr. Cece asks us to examine ourselves. Are we growing? Or are we stagnant? And now, with part 3 of the marks of the mature Christian, is Dr. Cece.
I want to invite you this morning to turn to Colossians, the first chapter, and welcome to part 3 of our special series, The Marks of the Mature Christian. In particular, we are examining the Apostle Paul's uplifting pastoral prayer in chapter 1, verses 9 to 14. Now, it's been our practice to not just read this passage, but to together pray through this passage each week, to pray for ourselves, to pray for our families, to pray for our church, and even to pray for our fellow Christians. I've been telling you about different congregations and groups of people who are listening online or listening through radio or listening through our podcasts. And it seems like every week we get more and more and more. Now, there are a few weeks behind us in study. No surprise, we can't get all of my message in a half-hour message, so they divide them up and so forth into 20 or 25-minute messages. But having said that, right now, while we're doing this, they're at the beginning of Colossians, but we are getting letters from all over. We just received a letter from Bangkok, Thailand, and we received another comment from somebody who was visiting here from Brazil, telling us that, in fact, their study group is listening each week as we study together. What a blessing to know that we're not alone. So as we stand, we pray this prayer not just for ourselves, but for the body of Christ. Would you join with me, please? Turn your Bibles to Colossians chapter 1, and let's read together our text. Colossians 1, verses 9 to 14. For this reason also, since the day we heard of it, we've not ceased to pray for you, and to ask that you may be filled with the knowledge of his will, and all spiritual wisdom and understanding, so that you will walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, to please him in all respects, bearing fruit in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all power according to his glorious might, for the attaining of all steadfastness and patience, joyously giving thanks to the Father, who has qualified us to share in the inheritance of the saints in light. For he rescued us from the domain of darkness, and transferred us to the kingdom of his beloved Son, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. And Father, we come before you as the people of God, indwelt by the Spirit of God, and ready to study the Word of God. What a profound statement. And to realize that as new creatures in Christ, we have the full illumination of your Holy Spirit. And we thank you for that. And we know that we can cry out to you that you would take this passage and work it through our lives that we might be an honor and a glory to you. In Jesus' name. God's people said, amen. Amen. Please be seated. Of course, I want to invite you to take out those study outlines. If you're listening by radio, don't take out the study outlines. Just keep driving. But if you're also listening by podcast, you can download these messages. You can certainly download all of the study outlines absolutely free at campusbiblechurch.com. But we have been talking about what mature Christians are known by. Now, that's an important concept. What are we known by? Now, I realize there are lots of things that we want to be known by, but we certainly don't want to be measured by the size of a congregation. We don't want to be measured by the beauty of a facility. We don't want to be measured by the attraction of our programs. There are certain things that we want to be measured by that are pleasing in the eyes of God. The distinguishing marks, if you will, the spiritual tattoos, the things that set us apart from the rest of the family of humanity. Children of God, bought by the blood of Jesus Christ, grace through faith in Christ alone to the glory of God Himself alone. So we're looking at these distinguishing marks. And so far we've covered number one, a full life that is filled with the life-changing knowledge and wisdom to follow God's perfect will for our lives. Distinguishing mark number two that we've seen here in this text, an exemplary life that walks and talks so much like Jesus that others want to imitate us. Distinguishing mark number three is a pleasing life that delights God by doing anything He calls us to do when He calls us to do it. And we finished up last time with distinguishing mark number four, a fruitful life that never stops working and serving the King of Kings. Now, some of you are also involved with sermon-based Bible studies, our growth groups, if you will, and those study questions are in your bulletin. They're also available for you online. But we want to encourage you to go beyond the message, beyond what I've challenged you and exhorted you in, to have your own time in your small groups or with your family in which you engage this text. When you ask what I call the so what of a text, because theology apart from so what-ology doesn't work. We teach people how to interpret a text and then how to apply a text. But ultimately, when you're going to apply this text, you're also going to have to present what this text does in your life and through your life out into the community. So we come to part 5 of verse 10, a really distinguishing mark number 5, a growing life. A life that increases daily in the knowledge of God. Do you see it there in verse 10? Where he says in verse 9, we have not ceased to pray for you and to ask that you may be filled with the knowledge of his will and all spiritual wisdom and understanding, so that you will walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, to please him in all respects, bearing fruit in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. Everybody say increasing in the knowledge of God. Now don't miss the flow of this passage, these golden links in this chain of Christ-like attributes. The thing that we want to adorn our lives with. Paul says, I pray that you will be filled with the knowledge of his will. Why? So that we'll walk in a manner worthy of the Lord. Why? Because as we walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, we will please him in all respects. And as we please him in all respects, we will bear fruit in every good work. And when we bear fruit in every good work, we will increase in the knowledge of God. It all fits together, and we're not done with this prayer. 9 links. We're only coming to number 5. But I want to talk about increasing in the knowledge of God. I'm not going to ask for a show of hands, but given the popularity of TV reality shows, it just proves once again sociologically that we like to people watch. We like to see people at their best. But Hollywood also knows that most popular reality shows are those that show us at our worst. In fact, if the truth be known, they cut out the good parts of humanity and they encourage and foster and keep on the shows the worst of the worst of humanity. But that phenomenon is hardly new. Paul was also a keen observer of human nature, and especially of his fellow Christians. Here is a man who, in his years as an apostle, traveled extensively and saw much. And he had witnessed Christianity in all of its shapes and all of its sizes. people who declared themselves to be born again, who exemplified all the levels of spiritual maturity, or if you will, immaturity, that are possible. But what broke his heart is when he saw people who should be more mature than they are. He was certainly well aware in his day, as I am today, that there was a vast difference between born-again believers who are going through the Christian life and those that are growing in the Christian life. Going versus growing. The writer to the Hebrews, and we don't know who it was, just Paul, some Apollos, some other writers, all we know is that God himself moved a human writer to address something that you and I need to understand. The sad condition of far too many people, observed by the writer to the Hebrews in the first century, evidenced even today, Hebrews chapter 5, verses 11 to 14, concerning him, speaking of Christ, we have much to say, and it is hard to explain, since you have become dull of hearing. For though by this time you ought to be teachers, you have need again for someone to teach you the elementary principles of the oracles of God. The Greek text says the ABCs. The very basic thing you teach preschoolers. A, B, C, D, E, F, G. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. You've forgotten the basics of the oracles of God. And you've come to need milk, goo-goo and ga-ga, and not solid food. For everyone who partakes only of milk is not accustomed to the word of righteousness, for he is an infant. The Greek word nepios. He's a baby. But solid food is for the mature who become practice, have their senses trained to discern good and evil. I think if the Apostle Paul were alive today, I think he would come before us and he would pull us aside and not have us engage in a debate on the infralapsarian views of the decrees of God. Or the debate concerning dichotomy or trichotomy in the parts of man, body, soul, and spirit. Or the nuances of theology that we so love to banter about. I think he would ask us the simplest of questions related to our growth, our spiritual maturity. And he would do so certainly like a reality TV show, but there would be no cameras that would force you to be unreal. There would be no reporters priming the pump, making you sound better than you are or worse than you really are. It would just be him and you. And he would probe our lives with three questions that you'll never hear on a TV reality show today, but are much more revealing. And I want you to take a moment and think about what your answer would be today. Not yesterday. Today. Probing question number one, are you really growing in your walk with God today? Are you really? I'm not asking what you show. I'm not asking what you think. I'm not asking what you hope would be real. Are you really? Secondly, are you really being stretched in your faith today? Are you really? Thirdly, is your spiritual influence really spreading beyond your expectation? Or have you settled in to the mundane, to the non-remarkable, to the status quo, to being the average Christian, whatever that means? And you have every right to say to me, Pastor Jim, how do you know that the Apostle Paul would even ask such questions? I want to tell you how I know, because what he says right here in verse 10, the very word sano there, did you want me to use this? I apologize, we were having some technical problems. He uses the Greek word oxano. Everybody say oxano. It's a fascinating word, so commonly used in the city of Colossae, as well as all the ancient world. It speaks of growing and stretching and spreading, and it's an agricultural term often used in Paul's day. It spoke of doing what it takes to cause a plant to grow, that plant to stretch, to spread out abundantly, and also to not do anything that would stunt the abundance, to keep something from growing. Now, obviously, anybody who has grown plants successfully would be familiar with this word. Unfortunately, that's not my experience. Now, I've lived in this agriculturally blessed San Joaquin Valley for over 20 years. And you've heard the stories, haven't you? I am the Roundup Queen King. And when I go out and do Roundup, my wife has to give me an accountability partner so I don't kill living things that she wants to keep. I am prone to pluck flowers off of peach trees because I don't want a flower tree. I want a peaches. Those are real things for this city boy, as you well know. But permit me one horror story that I've never told you because it's so embarrassing. One spring, I tried to start a vegetable garden, 4 feet wide and 25 feet long, exactly. Why? Because I went to the grocery store, and I looked, and I said, that's about 4 feet wide, and the vegetable bin's about 25 feet long, and that's what I want. And I said to my wife, who grew up around gardens, hey, Indiana girl, I don't need your help. I'll do this one on my own. Just be available when I have some questions. So I stood at that long line of dirt, and I said, help. What do I do? How do I start this? So I followed her instructions, and I tilled the soil, I prepared the seed rows, I planted the tiny little vegetable seeds, all the vegetable seeds I could find. Packages and packages and packages of them. Because when I opened the seed, it's so tiny, and that's such a big piece of land. And I wanted a lot in my vegetable garden, so I planted them right next to each other. The radishes next to the squash, the next to the corn, next to the beans. And I came back into the house proudly and said, honey, it's all done. And she said, did you remember to mark the rows? I said, you didn't tell me to do that. But I should have known, because in the grocery store, they're all marked. So now I had no idea what's growing in my garden, and then the seeds came up, and up, and up. And I had radishes growing out of lettuce. I had corn stalks coming out of cherry tomato plants. But I couldn't admit defeat again. So I brought the kids out, and I said, look what Dad did. They said, what is it, Dad? I said, mixed vegetables. But I learned a principle. I learned that if God had wanted me to be a farmer, he would have given me a wife who insists on not letting me do things on my own. But even more than that, I learned something. I learned that the VeggieTale folks are right. That people really are a lot like vegetables. That some are fast-growing squash and others are slow-growing lettuce. And that's exactly what Paul is saying in Colossians 1. He wants our lives increasing, growing, spreading out like zucchini. I love zucchini. Not because it tastes so good, but because anybody can grow it. And it grows, and it grows, and it spreads. It'll even grow up your crepe myrtle trees. I know. And what Paul is saying here is that in Colossians 1, the Christian life is to be one of continual increase, lifelong expansion, constant growth, substantial spreading through all the seasons of our lives. Here's the problem. He said, we're going to talk about spiritual growth. I have to first talk about spiritual laziness. that which we have excused for far too long. But I think if Paul were alive today, I think he would say what needs to be said to some of us. A stagnant Christian is a contradiction in terms. To use the words of Paul here, he says that we're all to be increasing in the knowledge of God. It isn't optional. Let me give you the painfully obvious statement. You're either going backwards or you're growing forward, but there's no such thing as a stagnant Christian. And if you have plateaued, you have not. You've stopped and reversed and undone whatever level of maturity you reached.
Throughout Paul's prayer for believers, he constantly uses verbs that are in an ongoing frame of mind. Clearly, Paul desires for us that we constantly grow in our knowledge of God the Father and the Son, and that we continue to mature.
Let's review parts 1 and 2 of the marks of the mature Christian. In the first two parts, Pastor Cece described 4 of the distinguishing marks of a mature Christian. Distinguishing mark 1 is a full life, filled with the life-changing knowledge and wisdom to follow God's perfect will for our lives. Distinguishing mark number 2, an exemplary life, that walks and talks so much like Jesus that others want to imitate us. Distinguishing mark number 3, a pleasing life, one that delights God by doing anything He calls us to do when He calls us to do it. And, distinguishing mark number 4, a fruitful life, that never stops working and serving the King of Kings.
Constant growth, substantial spreading through all the seasons of our lives.
Next time, Pastor Cece will continue with part 3 of the marks of the mature Christian, keeping us mindful that we are to be growing constantly. And, he will discuss distinguishing mark number 6, the powerful life.
Something was different, I knew it the end.
This series is written by Dr. Jim Cece. This program is presented by Dr. Jim Cece. Thank you for listening. May God richly bless you as you study His Word.
It's cheap.